Yeah, so coincidentally, I'm teaching on the same passage that Jim taught on this morning, except I'm going to expand upon it. We didn't plan that. You guys saw my memory verse list a long time ago. It's neat sometimes to see how God orchestrates a point that he wants to drive home even more. In the passage that Pastor David Harris was reading at the beginning of it, it is all pointing to what our life should look like once we become followers of Christ, what our vision should be cast upon. Before I get into teaching, who alongside me memorized Colossians 3, 1 through 2 this week? Who's got it memorized? Oh, we got one. Isabel.
Can I say it?
Yes, please.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Be seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on this earth.
Great job, Isabel. All right. Anybody else have Colossians 3, 1 through 2? This is surprising. This is one that should be very, very easily accessible when you're... If you didn't memorize it this week, I would encourage you to go back this week and put forth some time. Yes, Carter.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father, and not on the things of
the... Good job. That was good. That was great. It starts out, if then, as Pastor Jim was saying this morning, or since then in the NIV, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your hearts or your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. That's what we're going to talk about today. As we've been looking at the gospel over the last 9 weeks, the goal is to take a heart of stone, a heart that is resistant towards God, doesn't understand the things of the Bible, and through the power of the gospel is transformed. It's transformed from seeking after sin to now seeking after the things of God. And what should our vision be cast on? It should be cast heavenward. So we're going to be looking at the book of Colossians. And does anybody know who wrote the book of Colossians? Paul. Okay, that was an easy one. Paul wrote the book of Colossians to the church of Colossae to address divisions in the church. And this is why I think this particular passage is very relevant now in a youth group setting and even, you know, in the modern day America. There are divisions that are happening amongst us. Lots of divisions, and there's lots of reasons why those divisions are happening. And so Paul wrote this letter here to strengthen their devotion to Jesus, because there will be divisions, but unless we are compelled or connected, we're connected through Jesus, Satan is going to continue to try to divide. He's going to try to pick off brother from brother and sister from sister and drive wedges in those relationships. So he wrote it to strengthen their devotion to Jesus. Sorry. And to instruct them in the Christian life as people resurrected with Christ. So, have any of you guys ever had to transfer schools from one school to another? Okay. What was different about the new school versus the old school, Simon? And who else raised their hand? Okay, so Simon and then John.
I don't know, it was like 5 times... I guess it'd be 10 times as many students.
Yeah. Okay, so a lot more students. Yeah. Maybe, and with a lot more students, what does that result in? Same problems or different problems? Just on a larger scale?
I don't know. I didn't really do much there. I just chilled behind the scenes. So I don't really know much about the school, to be honest with you.
Okay. Anybody else ever have to change schools? You did? A little bit. You went from Whiteland to homeschool. Yeah. Hannah, what was different?
Well, I moved from America to Canada, so it's really different. But the program, the way they taught things were extremely different, and I had to relearn when I moved back to America a lot of things, like spelling. You can spell different things.
So you went from America to Canada?
Yeah.
And then back here? Which is funny, because we had Johanna that was here that went from where she was to Canada to here. Anyway, okay, wow. I just learned something. I spent a lot of time with Hannah, and I did not know that. I'm so sorry for not knowing that. All right. So the reason I bring this up is to talk about a real life problem of perspective. Okay? You know, our perspectives can change when we go from one setting to another setting, one school to another. Maybe they have different priorities and values. Maybe there's a different teaching style. Maybe there's a different underlying message that they're trying to brainwash you with or teach you. Sorry. But perspective oftentimes is something that we need to keep in mind, because what happens is we tend to focus ourselves on earthly things and living according to the flesh. But as you'll see in Colossians today, Christ has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And this is a good thing. We talk about salvation and this is great, and we talk, yeah, we get to spend eternity with heaven. But how much time do you actually spend thinking about heavenly things? Right now you're just thinking, why is the Queen Elizabeth on up there? I'll get to that. All right, but we're talking about kingdoms, right? So in this new kingdom, we have died to our old self, and we have a new self, which God is transforming into a person that's going to be more and more like Jesus. And since we live in a new place, this kingdom of God, and we have a new self, we need to be turning away from our old sinful patterns and our old behaviors and live in a way that honors and glorifies God. Guys, we have been redeemed. And the point tonight is that if you've heard anything that we've said over the last 9 weeks, I'll do a quick recap. When we repent and believe, we are resurrected with Christ from that old place of darkness to this new place. Do you believe that? This new place that we're at is where Jesus is reigning as king. And so all of these hymns that we were singing tonight have brought me to tears, because I'm thinking, we do have a friend in Jesus, and we should be casting our cares at him. We should be laying these burdens down and just say, Lord, they're out of my hands. We are all sinners, and we're trying to resolve conflict among sinners, and we need Christ to intervene on our behalf. So let me quickly review where we've been so far this semester. What does the word gospel mean? You can do this. It means, what does the word gospel mean? Yes, Callie. It does mean good news. Praise the Lord, it does. And what is this good news, people? What's the good news, Braden? That is right. And you know how many times he's been here this semester? Not as many as the rest of you guys. So let's go. You got this, Braden. Good job. All right. So the good news is that Jesus died for my sins. Why did he die for your sins? Because you deserved it? No, why did he die?
So you could have a relationship with him?
Yes. He wanted that relationship. He wanted you and you and each of you to have an abundant life that starts right now and lasts forever. Now, we have to understand the gospel in terms of grace. What is grace? In your own words, yes, Caleb.
Undeserved favor.
Yeah, that's awesome. God's undeserved love for sinners. So our definition that I just want you guys to beat into your brains is that, what is the gospel? God's grace and redemption for sinners through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is good news, that he did that. And he did that freely, because we didn't deserve it. He did it because he loves us and that he wanted to have an intimate relationship with us. Whew. So week one, what did we learn about, right? God created everything good. He wanted to have that relationship with us. Triune God, who is in relationship, built us to be in his image, Genesis 1:26. But then we see later in Genesis chapter 3, the fall happened. Man wanted to be their own God. Man wanted to make their own way. And so Satan tempted Eve. She took of the fruit and she sinned. Her eyes were opened to the fact that she now knew the difference between good and evil. Adam sinned along with her. So the fall happened. There was separation. So we learned that God created us for intimate relationship, but we broke that. And we also learned in week three that we have to give an account. Every person has to give an account before God for their lives and sins. Believers in Christ are spared from that judgment because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is done by grace through faith. That was Revelation 20. Week 4, we saw Jesus died as a substitute in our place. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Okay, guys, again, we go through the gospel because I want you guys to, if it hasn't already penetrated your heart, it's only God's word that's going to do that. If God has already, you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is a good reminder for what should be on the tip of our tongue as we look heavenward, as we look not on things on this earth, but things that are above. This is what should be on the tip of our tongue. Week 5, we learned that God, or that Christ, in fact, is our mediator and serves as the mediator between us and the Father, enabling us to enter into God's grace. And he can sympathize with us. He was tempted in every way, but was found without sin. Redemption. Luke chapter 5 was talking about how involves a transfer from one realm or one way of life to another. And when we repent and believe in Christ, we transition from trusting in ourselves and clinging to that control to handing over control of our lives to Christ and trusting in him. That's hard to do. But Christ came and said, hey, the healthy people, they don't need a doctor, right? Who needs a doctor? The sick people, right? And just like he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I called to call the sinners to repentance. Week 7 was Andy's teaching around the campfire, talking about justification and receiving the righteousness of God as grace through as a gift. Romans 3:23 says, for all of us in here and at your schools and at home, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So that's Romans 3:23. And last week we talked about the fox and the hedgehog, right? The hedgehog, one singular focus. And we spoke from John 15. What was that one singular focus from last week, guys? What are we supposed to do? Please don't leave me hanging, because it was my favorite lesson I've taught in a very long time. Yes? We're supposed to abide in Christ. Thank you, Carter, for... Thank you. Thank you. We did. We learned about how Jesus saves us into a close, intimate relationship again so that we can abide in him in order to have joy and bear fruit for God's glory. And tonight, as we talked about the fox and the hedgehog last week, tonight we're going to talk about the Queen of England, right? Makes sense. Because we're talking about the gospel, we need to talk about the Queen of England. You're thinking, what in the world does this have to do with the gospel? Well, let me just quickly tell you a couple facts about this Queen of England. I usually had a screen back here, but it's not really on right now. So I'm going to have to look over my shoulders. Did you know that she celebrates 2 birthdays? She does, in fact. Because this is not necessarily just something that was because of the Queen of England. It was because there was another king back in the day. His birthday was in the winter. He wanted to celebrate his birthday sometime when it was lovely outside. So the Queen of England, oh, there we go. Oh, my eyes are so bad I can't read it, so it doesn't matter. But I can see the lovely picture. All right, so celebrates 2 birthdays. This is not the point, but I'm going to talk about the Queen of England and royalty and how we should act. How many of you guys know about the Queen of England? Apparently a lot of you, because you'll see in like number 9, she's been the center of like 200 TV dramas and movies. So like one of the most publicized political figures in the world. Never went to school. Related to her late husband. A little bit awkward. I think they were third cousins. That kind of happens. You would expect that a fashion designer. One of the crown jewels is from India. It's greatly disputed, but it is a giant 108-carat diamond. Trust me, this has a point. Longest reigning monarch, longer than, Queen Victoria, who served for 63 years. So doesn't need a passport or a driver's license. Who knew? Right? If you're the Queen of England, suppose you don't, you know, have to live by the rest of the rules. Likes corgis. I don't know if you guys are into corgis. Is that even a corgi? No. I grabbed this off the internet. I'm like, that's not a corgi. They don't know this. So we can make fun of the internet for... Anyway, that's not a corgi. But she does like corgis, and that's been the official dog. All right. I already told you this. Over 200 films. And then you know what? The Queen of England is not the richest person in Britain. Huh. Right? You know, I would have thought this to be the case. Only worth about £350 million. That's not even close to being the richest guy who's from Westminster. 10 billion pounds is what that guy's worth. All right. Okay, so why do I bring this all up? Let me get to a black screen so you're not distracted by good old Queenie. Okay. Did you know that when you enter a room with the Queen of England, there are certain behaviors that are automatically expected of you? How many of you guys have ever met the Queen of England? Oh, really? Oh, wow, fancy. All right, so when the Queen of England comes into the room, what should you do? Okay, never turn your back. You always stand. So if she was to walk in or stumble in or whatever, we would, we don't care, but typically people in England would rise. If she approaches you, you're expected to bow or curtsy if you're a lady. Did you know that you need to have something in your back pocket if you're going to be in the proximity of the queen? Because if she approaches you, you should always have a gift to offer her. That's like a thing. Weird. You never call her by her first name. So you don't say, "Hey, Elizabeth, how you doing?" Yeah. And you certainly do not speak to her unless she speaks to you. Okay, that's kind of silly to think of those rules of a monarchy. But did you also know that there is a royal code of conduct with God? Let me share with you. We serve a loving and a kind king who loves us like a warm father. So at the same time, since we live in his presence at all times and we live in his kingdom, the way that we live should change as well. There are certain expectations of how we engage God and others in the world around us because we are, in fact, part of his kingdom. We are considered royalty in his eyes. And God's commandments in the Bible give us guidance on the royal code of behavior for us as citizens in the kingdom of God. So if you have a Bible, and I hope that you do, if you do not have a Bible, we have some in this back cabinet over here. I also generally have them at the entryway when you guys come in. I want you guys to have a Bible. If you don't own one, please come talk to me. I would love to get you a great study Bible so that you can start reading the Word alongside, because again, this is a good group. But it's studying God's word that's going to transform your life. So would you please open to Colossians chapter 1, actually. We're going to spend most of our time looking at chapter 3. But I wanted to start by reading Colossians 1, 13 through 14. And God's word says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, please skip with me over to Colossians chapter 3, where we memorize the verse for today. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your hearts on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory." Verse 5. Read with me, guys. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." Kill it. Be killing sin or it's going to be killing you. What do you need to be putting to death? "Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And in these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all." But it doesn't stop there. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's a good word, people. All right, so in Colossians 3:13-14, Paul says we have been transferred from something to something. What is it that we have been transferred from?
We have been transferred from darkness to the kingdom of God.
Yes, from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, that's our position if you have received Christ. If you've not received Christ, and I hope that the Spirit works in your heart and God's word works into you, and because Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of all who believe. The power for your salvation is in here. Hopefully, from the words that come out of my mouth, you'll hear God's words, and that will stir in your heart a need to repent and trust in the Lord. But it's not my words that are going to be doing it. It's God's words. But that's the position I want to start this. So we've gotten past the idea that we've received Christ. So this conversation is directed towards believers. If you proclaim Christ as the Lord of your life, this message, this lesson is for you. In verse 2, so skip over to chapter 3, Paul says that we should set our minds on things that are above. Paul is speaking about heaven and heavenly realities. The New Living Translation translates it in this manner. It says, since you have been raised to a new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Paul says, that's what we should set our minds on, not on earthly things. So we've been transferred from the domain of darkness into God's new kingdom. So we should no longer be focusing on earthly things. We should be focusing on heavenly things. So when they talk about setting our minds on earthly things, there was a long list there. And I would encourage you guys that have a pen or a pencil to go back and reread this passage this week and see, you know, kind of where God might be trying to chip away at things that you're clinging to in your life that are holding you back from giving your entire trust in life to him. It talks about those earthly things that seem to refer to sin, as evidenced by the list of sins in the text associated with living in an earthly manner. He says, what are we to do to those earthly things? That kind of thinking? We are to put it to death. Okay? This is not to sit back and relax and hope that it all works out. We have to be actively pursuing killing sin in our lives, or it will be killing you. Okay? So what are some of the sins or earthly living things that Paul lists for us? Look at verse 5. What are some of the things listed there that we need to be putting to death?
Idolatry.
Okay, idolatry, yes. And that comes in all shapes and sizes, right? Okay, what else?
Sorry.
I heard...
Same thing. Sexual morality. Sexual.
Okay, so we want to be putting to death sexual immorality. We want to be pursuing purity, right? Yeah. Sexual immorality, man, so pervasive in our culture. And there is 100 different ways that Satan, probably way more than that, 100 different ways that Satan wants to attack you and infiltrate into your heart. What else?
Evil desire.
Evil desire, yes. What about what comes out of our mouth? Got to read a little bit further down for that. Maybe verse 8. He says to get rid of slander or obscene talk. And he even just calls out lying. But it's just a white lie. It's just a small lie. And it's a lie that breaks trust, that's for sure. In verse 9, Paul says that we should not lie to one another. Paul says that we shouldn't lie because we have put off this old self of which things like lying are a normal day-to-day conversation. That's just who our old self was. We want to lie so that we can hide from who we really are. We no longer have to lie anymore because we can put on a new self. Maybe some of us here are thinking, man, I feel like I have to keep up these appearances and lie because I don't want people to know who I really am. But this new self, there's forgiveness and there's peace that comes with that. Okay. Verse 10, Paul says that the new self is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. And then we talked about being heavenly minded. So earthly minded, we listed a lot of things. What do we see in verses 12 through 17 about attributes of being heavenly minded? What should we be thinking of? Set our minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. Okay, we talked about the earthly things that we needed to address. We're not going to set our minds on those things anymore because that's not who we should be. What should we be setting our minds on? What do you guys see? What are those attributes? Yes, that's one. Good job.
Patience.
Great. Yes, that's one too. What else? Kindness. Yes.
Love.
Yes. Man, it binds them all together. Yes.
Forgiveness.
Okay. Compassion, forgiveness. Yes. Worship, gratitude, meekness. Somebody said humility, which is what we all need a whole lot more of. Forgiveness is a big one. The way that we forgive each other should look very different than the way that the world harbors resentment. We are called to sharpen each other and push each other forward in our relationships in what we're called to be, because the world wants to look at our relationships and say, see, you guys don't deal with conflict either. You just try to sweep it under the rug. No, if we can sharpen each other, then you can have such a stronger relationship, not only with each other, but with Christ. Faithful are the wounds of a friend rather than the kisses of an enemy. Yeah, the wounds of a friend, they hurt, but man, Jesus can bring healing and can make you stronger through that. So I implore you guys to work right now at resolving conflict in high school, because when you make it to after high school and you have less parental influence and less adults in your life that want to guide you in the right path, you're going to have to figure it out on your own, and that's real hard to do. So trust that we can and want to come alongside you. Trust God's word. Matthew 18 talks very clearly how we should be resolving conflict. That's not the point of today's lesson. It just is a good point to talk about, so I'm going to carry on. All right. All right. So I just want to see where I want to go with this, because I want to give you guys time for small groups, but I also want to give you time for Newcomb later, and we got cookies. So I'm always motivated. I ran marathons and half marathons for the cookie at the end. So if you guys just came tonight for the cookies at the end, I want to make sure you get to the finish line. All right, I'm going to get us to the finish line, folks. Okay. All right. Colossians chapter 1. Delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. We've been raised with Christ, we've died, and we're putting on a new self. There's a correlation there. All of these relate to moving from an old realm to a new realm. Believers formerly live in that domain of darkness and now live in the kingdom of his beloved Son, and we have died to that old realm, the kingdom of God. We have a new self in the kingdom. We are raised in the new realm of kingdom of God. We have a new self. Redemption involves being transferred from one place to another. Colossians 3 demonstrates how we move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. All right. What do you guys think it means to be hidden with Christ in God? What do you think it means to be feeling or be hidden with Christ in God? Or what feelings does that invoke? How does that make you feel? Yeah.
Sounds like a place of refuge.
It is. It is our rock, our foundation. We are able to dwell in the heart of God when we are saved. And I hope for many of you, this gives you a sense of comfort and security to be hidden with Christ in God. The scripture says we are being renewed in the knowledge after the image of his creator. To sum up this entire passage, let me just say, is to state that you have been transferred. I already said it. Remember, you guys are citizens of heaven. So how do you do that? How do you set your minds on heavenly things? What are some practices, right, that can enable you to set your mind on heaven? Okay, what are some practices that you guys can do to set your minds on heaven?
Pray.
Okay, you can pray, definitely. You can pray for God to give you more clarity. We can also read God's word that tells us about heaven, what is to come, his second coming, which every single day, I know in high school it's hard because there's like so much cool stuff going on, but like every day I wake up and I say, Lord, I pray today's the day. Lord, will you come back today? It's not that I am afraid of this world. It's not that I don't love this world. I love a lot of things in this world, but I love God more, and I want to be in his presence. And I pray that I would have got that earlier in high school because all the drama wouldn't matter. I'd be setting my mind on things that are above and not on all this trash and junk. But it is a reality to you guys. I don't want to belittle it. I want to help you walk through it. And this is one of those ways. So reading about heaven in the Bible in places like the book of Revelation is a good place to start. Imagining what heaven will be like is also just a helpful practice. We don't talk about heaven enough, I don't think. We think of it conceptually as like, oh, it's just where good people go when they die. No, but there's so much more to it. So heavenly living. While obedience can involve sacrifice and suffering, when we think about it as heavenly living, there's a promise that obedience will draw us closer to God and give us joy. That's what I want you guys to see in God's word. It's not just a lot of lists of do's and don'ts, but a promise of a relationship, an intimate relationship with God that starts now and goes forever. So the main takeaway tonight is just through the gospel, Jesus has redeemed us and transferred us. Right? Domain of darkness. Heavenly kingdom. Where we have a new self. And so in this new place, with this new self, we live in a way that honors and glorifies Christ. I want you guys to assess yourself. Examine yourself. Look at your life and say, am I being heavenly minded? Or am I focused on things of this earth? Lord, help me to be focused on things that are above, not on earthly things. That verse is a good prayer and a good reminder. So let me close in prayer, and then we'll go to small groups for about a half an hour tonight. You guys can go to your small groups wherever you would like, or you can go to your normal rooms. We've got the donut room over there that now has a partition, or you could have one large girls. I don't know. But at 7:45, I'd like for all the small groups, I know it's going to be hard, let's end. Let's go spend some time together, having some fun. I'm not going to kick anybody out till 8:30. So we'll have 7:45 to 8:30 tonight. There'll be cookies. Please be sure to thank Dwayne and Sally Bell so much. Oh. No, it's next week. Next week. Yeah. So that's next week. So tonight is 7:45 to 8:30 here. Thank Dwayne and Sally for their cookies. And let me close with some prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and who you reveal yourself to be and what you want us to become in your word. Help us to be heavenly minded, not dwelling on things of this earth. Help us to remember that our true home is in heaven, that we are simply sojourners and passing through this earth. But Lord, you've given us a mission to accomplish while we are on this earth. Help us to live like this world is not our home, and that in knowing that we live in a fallen world, that we look forward to the kingdom to come. Lord, I pray that you bless us with a fellowship with you in the joy of heaven. Help us live on this earth as we will live in heaven, and we pray that your will be done in our life right now on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, help us. The things on this earth seem so primary. Please give us proper perspective and help us to deal with them through the power of the Holy Spirit, to seek your wisdom and put you first in our lives. We love you and we thank you for the opportunity to worship you tonight in song, in teaching, small group time, and fellowship. Amen.